to tell you the Christmas story in a fresh new way. We know you're going to love it, and so would you help welcome out the band and the performers right now?
Is this the real birth? Is this nativity? Caught in the senses in the town of his ancestry. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. He's just a poor boy, foretold by prophecies. Wise men come, wise men go, angels high, shepherds low. This is how God's love shows. It's a wondrous story to me. Just got the word, the angel did appear, but he told her not to fear. Mary, now it's just begun, you know it's gonna wash our sins away. Mary,
little silhouette of a lamb.
Shepherds watch over there.
How much you love that. Was good. That was so good. Okay.
first time ever for me, head banging puppets on Christmas. I've experienced a lot of things that was sure worth experiencing again, but awesome off sometime. Hey, I want to say to you some words that I love getting to say. And I think maybe I'm wrong, but subjectively, I'm noticing more people saying it this year than they've said in other years. And what are those words? It's two words. Merry what?
Christmas.
Man, I've been in stores that a while back banned that term. Did you know that? They would only allow them to say happy holidays. And now over and over. And so Pam and I are like, wow, people are saying it again. And then a survey came out 2 weeks ago. And the question was, what do you want said to you at the holidays? And the number one answer by 70% of the people was Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. And so, you know what? I think it'd be really cool. Yeah. Yeah. Praise God for that. So let's do it. Turn to the person next to you and say, Merry Christmas, especially on Christmas Eve. Yeah. And I want to say to all of you, Merry, Merry Christmas. Now, for all the kids in the room, we gave you a Christmas present when you came in. I want you to know that in one of these is a $100 bill. No, not really. No, we gave this to you as a gift. Now, inside are some notepad where you can take notes on what we're doing. So all you kids, grab your notepad out. Go ahead and get it out. And you can fill in the notes here. And we'd love to have you follow along to what we're going to talk about today. So what I want to get into is this. It's Christmas Eve. It is Christmas Eve, and I want to ask the question, is it possible that you're looking for something on Christmas Eve? You know, Christmas Eve is the eve before Christmas morning, Christmas Day. So tonight, more specifically, is Christmas Eve. And before the day comes, the day of promise, Christmas is the day of promise, maybe you're looking for something. Maybe you need forgiveness. Maybe the faith that's in you is about to die. Maybe the reason you showed up today is you go, you know what? Man, I'm just having a hard time believing anymore. Believing in God, believing in others, believing in me. Maybe it's about to die. Maybe you're hurting and you're in need of healing. Or maybe you just feel lost. You know, the goals you had aren't really working out. The things you thought you'd accomplish aren't going to happen. And so you begin to wonder about that. But here's the question I want to ask you. What if you said on Christmas Eve to Jesus, come help me. Come find me. What would happen if you said that? I could tell you that he would say yes. He would come. He would make that happen in your life. And there's someone that many of you have heard of. Her name is Gwen Stefani. Gwen Stefani wanted to do a Christmas special. So last April, she's jogging, and this is kind of wild. She's on Blake Shelton's ranch. It's nighttime. She can see the stars, which tells you she's not in California. And she's jogging amongst wildebeest. Now, how would you like to own wildebeest? And in the midst of it, she said it was this overwhelming feeling of God. And God moved her, and she began to think, come find me, come find me. And she ran and wrote a song called Christmas Eve. And the question she asked then is, are you looking for something on Christmas Eve? For healing from hurt, grace and truth? Are you looking for something? And then would you be willing to say those words, come find me, come find me? And she even writes in the song to the Lord, show me your mercy, show me your grace. And she called out to him. What would happen if you called out to him? Many of you have. What happened when you did? Well, I want to talk to you about that because Christmas is about finding forgiveness. Christmas is really about finding faith. Christmas is about finding healing. And Christmas is all about Jesus, having Jesus with you. The very word Christmas, Christ, Mass. Christ meaning Jesus the Christ, the promised one, the Messiah. Christ is the Greek term for the Hebrew term Messiah, the promised one that would come. And Mass means to worship. And so this whole idea of worshiping Christ and understanding what that means and saying that thing, come find me, come find me. And then the question is, what do you find? When you find him, what do you find inside you? Well, psychologists have found that you and I all share certain things alike. Now, you ready for that? We all share certain things alike. Whether we know it or not, to be psychologically healthy, mentally healthy, there are certain core desires you have. A core desire. I'd have like, do you know what some of your core desires are? By the way, even kids, what are some of the things you want if you're a child here? You probably say, well, I want candy. But that's not a core desire. Well, for some of you, chocolate is. But anyway, Core desire. How about this? Would you think a core desire is love? Would it be? Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. But there's another core desire we share in that all of us do. It's cross-cultural. It goes across age ranges. And you ready for what it is? It's a core desire for purpose, to have meaning, to not just meander through life, to not have your life not count, to not have your existence not even have any purpose. And we all have this desire for purpose. And so maybe if you say, yeah, I'm looking for something on Christmas, maybe you would say this: you're looking for purpose. And God wants you to know something. When you find Jesus, he helps you discover your purpose, because God created you on purpose, with a purpose, for a purpose. So when we look at Christmas, we come to something pretty incredible. We look at God's prophecies come at Christmas time. The whole idea of God's prophecies. So Christmas is the time we remember God's prophecy. Now, our culture's enamored with prophecy right now. Actually, throughout mankind, we've always been into prophecy, but it's at a heightened extreme right now. The top movies in Hollywood have a prophetic undercurrent and an apocalyptic meaning to them. The top TV shows are a prophetic and have an apocalyptic meaning to them. And so there's something about that resonates with us. Well, in the Bible, there's prophecy. Now, this is worth your noting, especially if you're brand new. Listen to this. There's only one book in the entire world that's ever been written, past, present, and by the way, this will be true in the future. There's only one book that is 100% prophetically accurate. That's the Bible. Every prophecy in it that could come true has come true to the letter. Hundreds and hundreds of prophecies have already taken place that were prophesied hundreds of years before they happened, and they came true exactly as God said they would be. By the way, we're living in a time of prophecy where prophecies will be fulfilled in front of our eyes. We'll get into that in January. But Christmas is a time we celebrate the most important prophecy of all, the coming of the Messiah, or the Christ that we worship at Christmas. And there are hundreds of prophecies about his coming, and Jesus fulfilled them all. So Christmas, specifically Christmas Eve, was the night before the most incredible prophetic event that could occur up until that time. A star shone brightly in the sky, letting everybody know the prophetic event was about to happen. And when they looked at that star, they thought, I bet that's Elon Musk's rocket. No, I'm kidding. Did anybody else see that? Yeah, I just thought, yeah, okay, yeah. So I'm glad we spend billions on that. But anyway, actually, he spends billions. But no, never mind. But the whole idea is these hundreds of prophecies are being fulfilled, and the star shines out, the star of Bethlehem, saying now is the time. What you've been looking for, what you've been waiting for, what you've been wanting is about to happen. And wise men in the east saw the star. They had been studying the book of Daniel and the prophecies in it, and they realized that he was coming, that he would be here. And so they started a 2-year journey to go and see him. And that's why we call them wise men, is because they were willing to do whatever it took to travel great distances to go and worship the one that had been prophesied. It's a time of God's prophecy. It's very likely, I don't know if it's true, but it's very, very likely that when the star burst forth in the sky, Mary went into labor. Now, we know she went into labor that night, but it could be in that very moment, and now she's in labor, and she's going to give birth to the promised prophetic one, and he's going to come. And there's all these prophecies about him, like I said, but I want to tune in or focus in on one. It's in Isaiah chapter 9, and I want you to think about the words of this ancient prophecy written hundreds of years before Jesus would be born, but he would fulfill them all, or he's going to fulfill still some of them. But catch what it says about this prophecy about the Messiah. So if you don't have a Bible, get a Bible later on. Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 1, nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair, think about those words, time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with joy. Now, Naphtali was an area of Israel, but what it's actually more specifically pointing to is that knowing these lands, Zebulun and Naphtali, part of that the Israel area would be in darkness, now it would have light. Why? Because of what would occur in Galilee. 70% of the miracles Jesus did in Galilee. 70% of his teaching took place in Galilee, and he went to that place in that time, and he got rid of despair, and he got rid of darkness, and he brought light, he brought love, he brought all those things. It goes on to say this Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, where it says, go ahead and pop it over. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. And he said, you know what? You need to know that's going to happen. And it's going to happen by something that occurs in that area of Galilee of the Gentiles when the promised one comes. And he's going to get rid of despair and get rid of darkness. And then skipping down a little bit in Isaiah chapter 9, down to verse 4, it says, for you, the Messiah, will break the yoke of their slavery. People who are in bondage will be set free. Addictions can be healed. Slavery can be ended. That habitual thing you can't get rid of can be taken away. That oppression you feel in your life could be gone because he'll break the yoke of their slavery and he'll lift the burden, that weighed down burden that people feel from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian, and the boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned. They will be fuel for fire. By the way, that's a second coming prophecy. Because of his first coming, he would eventually come and he would bring peace. In the first coming, he proclaims peace. In the second coming, he brings peace to the world. And we are looking to the day that Jesus does that. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called, look at the title, Wonderful Counselor. He'll give you counsel, he'll guide your life, he'll tell you how to live. Jesus will do that. He wants to do it. Hopefully you're experiencing that right now. Mighty God, because he's the mighty God. Everlasting Father, because God wants to be your father. Let me stop there. God wants to be your father. I love being a dad to my two sons. I love being their father. I never, ever want to not be their dad and be there for them. And during the season, both my sons have let me know how precious that is to them and how much that means to them, and oh, that fires me up. I get to be a grandfather now, which is, by the way, for any of you who have never experienced that, that's way better than being a father. Way better. Way better. And today I'm going to be hugging on my grandkids, at least three of the five. And there's something about that. And God says, I want that with you. I don't just want to be God. I want to be dad. Actually, the Bible says that he wants to be Abba, Father, Dad. He wants to be Papa. And so it says, he'll be the Prince of Peace. He'll bring peace in your life. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of the ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate, and love, look at this, the passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Did you grab that? God says, I have a passionate commitment to make this happen. Jesus said, I have a passionate commitment. It's the passionate commitment of Jesus to make this happen in your life, to make this happen in your life. And what is it he wants to have happen? Well, let's jump back to verse 1. One of the things he wants to have happen is this: nevertheless, the time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. You know what? Right now, if you're somebody who's in despair, I got to tell you something. I don't know if this will help. You're not the only one. A lot of people are weighed down right now. A lot of people are feeling heavy. A lot of people feel like just living's a burden. And the Lord says it doesn't have to go on forever. By the way, maybe here's the question. Are you in a season of life like that right now where you're just feeling despair? How many, by the way, the rest of us, how many of us have had a season like that? I'd love to know. I've had one. Anybody else had a season of despair? Raise your hand. I'd like to know. All of us who admit it. And you know what? Here's the thing. Did you feel like it's going to go on forever? Did you ever get up in the morning thinking, is this ever going to end? I was in a season of despair, and one time I was driving up towards my house. It was trash day, you know, where they pick up the trash cans, and everybody else's trash can but mine was picked up. And I thought, Lord, really? Like, is the trash company out to get me? You know, and I got to go a whole week, you know, and my trash can's full. And the next week, I was driving up the street on trash day, and they took my trash. I was so excited. But you know you're at a low point when having your trash taken is the highlight of your day. But maybe you've been in a moment like that before, and you're like, you know what, Lord? I don't want it to go on forever. Well, here's the good news. Jesus said, me too. I've come, Christmas is about that not going on forever. I want you to experience that kind of love. I want you to experience that kind of joy. That's what I want for you. And so that's one of the things he said he came to do. He came to for darkness and despair and sadness not to go on forever, to get rid of that out of your life. And then I want you to notice the next thing it says in verse 2. It says this, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. So he wants to get rid of despair, but he also wants to erase darkness from your life. Now, darkness could be a lot of things. It could be that fear that just is overwhelming you. It could be that shame that you're feeling for something you're doing or involved in. Or maybe it's shame for something that was done to you. And the Lord said, I want to heal you from that, and I want to take it away. So here's the thing. Would you pray that prayer that Gwen Stefani said, you know what, come find me. Bring healing from hurt and bring your love and bring your grace and bring your mercy. Come find me, come find me. And that's what Christmas is about, is being wise enough to go find Jesus and let Jesus find you. And so he wants to bring that to you. And by the way, when he erases the darkness, what's he do? Look at all these things that says it in that passage. He'll bring light to those who are in darkness. He'll bring life to those who are in despair. He'll bring liberty to those who are in bondage. You know, without a doubt, one of the biggest factors in your having freedom from a thing that's holding on to you and hanging on to you and weighing you down is coming to know God in a very secure way. Coming to have a relationship with God as your Father. And what happens is Jesus said, you have a choice. When he grew to be a man, he said, you have a choice. In John 10, verse 10, it says these words. In John 10, 10, it says that there's a thief who comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. There's a thief. So there's something, there's a culture, there's a dark force out there. There really is, by the way. There's an enemy out there. There may be people against you, and they want to steal from you and kill you and destroy you. There's a thief, the devil mainly. And Jesus said, but I've come that you might have life and life abundantly. That's what Christmas is about. I want you to be able to live. I want you to be able to experience that. And by the way, here's what's so cool about it. When you choose to live that abundant life, that means you're going to live a life in connection with God, connection with others, and living your God-given purpose. Now, the reason I said that quickly is, what is the abundant life? The abundant life happens. It becomes real when a trifecta occurs in your life. What's a trifecta? A trifecta is coming in, is what's in first place, second place, third place. And it needs to be in that order. If you went to a horse race and you bet on three horses in order, first, second, and third, that's called the trifecta. And if they hit, man, the big money rolls in. And I don't know that by experience, I can promise you that. But it just rolls in. And you know what? When you get those three things right in your life, you're betting on the thing. You're having faith in Jesus to bring that your way. And he wants to do that for you. So I want to talk about that right now. The first is we need to connect with God. We need to connect with God. That means we need to have a vertical relationship with God. We need to reach out to a God who reaches down to us. We need to say, come find me. God comes find you. And you begin to connect with God in a very real and meaningful way. And this means to really come to know him. And here's what I want to say again. Really come to know him. Because when you're in connection with God, you have this thing that's called secure attachment with God. Now, in all our life, we want to have secure attachment with valuable people in our life. That gives our life meaning. By the way, all you children in here, God's ideal is you'd have secure attachment with your mom and hopefully with your dad, and you would have other people in your life too. So right now, all the kids, you should look at your mom and dad and say, you know what? I'm securely attached to you. And just look at them. Point at them and say, I'm securely attached to you. All you kids who are 5 and under, I'm securely attached to you. All you kids 6 to 10, look at your parents. Say, I'm securely attached to you. All you kids 35 and up and living at home. No, I'm kidding. A little. Okay, I was a little insensitive, huh? Okay, I actually do. I'm really apologizing. I didn't say that in any other service. That shouldn't have been said here. Okay, so here's the thing. Secure attachment. Secure attachment happens. And when that occurs in your life, it becomes huge and big. And right now, here's the question. Do you have that? And I'm going to start with God, but I want to have you hear from one of the most influential psychologists who's ever lived. His name is John Bowlby, and whether you know his name or not, there's things he's taught. There's the influence he's had affects your life today in big ways. But he's big on this idea of what's called secure attachment and what that means to living a healthy life, that core desire inside you. And he said this, evidence is accumulating that human beings of all ages, by the way, all you young kids, everybody, all the older ones, whether you're 80, secure attachment. He goes, accumulating that human beings of all ages, human beings of all ages are happiest. When's that happen? It says the evidence is in on what creates that happiness. You're happiest and able to deploy your talents, purpose. You're able to live out your purpose to the best advantage when you are confident that standing behind you, there's one or more trusted persons who will come to your aid should difficulties arise. Now, since Bowlby said that, there's been a lot of cool research out there that when someone has a positive view of God and a secure attachment with God, where they really believe they're securely attached to God, they really believe they're living life with Him, they really believe when you pray, he listens and he answers, and that you interact with him and you have intimacy with him. Evidence is also now mounting and in that when that occurs, that's the best attachment figure you could have. Because what happens is you're more optimistic, you're more believe that challenges can be overcome, you actually have a better view of life and people, you're less likely to be hurt or put handicapped by obstacles that come your way. And one of the other studies said this, you ready? You're actually healthier. Your immune system works better. Now why? Because God created you to be in a secure attachment with him. So when you connect with God, you do so in a love relationship. And God wants your love. Now maybe we don't think about that enough. God loves you. Hopefully you know that. Are you ready for this? God wants you to love him. The greatest commandment of all was given in Mark chapter 12, where Jesus was talking and he said this. This is going to be the answer. Mark chapter 12, and it says, the most important thing you can ever know is this. The most important is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And sometimes we read that and go, okay, God wants me to love him. But you probably may not thought about this. God values it, you love him. God values it. You know, God really loves you so much that he loves that you love him back. He wants you to love him back. And when you do that, you start connecting with God. And we spend time with him, reading his word every single day and asking him to teach us. That's part of loving God. When we come to worship, that's part of loving God. I know that some of you noticed that it's new to you. When you came in here, you saw people during worship lifting their hands to the Lord. You know what? That's a sign of love to us. And you might think, oh, that looks weird. That looks weird. But you know what? Whenever you have a child and that child can finally walk and they come running up to you and they throw their hands in the air, not one of you go, oh, that's weird, kid. Get away from me. Got a weirdo here. Yeah. Yeah, takes after his mom. No, but it's signs of love, and you interact with love of God. And so then what happens is you go from that to the next thing that Jesus wants for you, because you say, come find me, and God comes find you, and you have an attachment. Then the next is you connect with others. So the first part of the trifecta is connect with God, then connecting with others. And notice this, that creates a vertical relationship in your life, okay, they're both there somewhere. Figure it out. I'll look it up on Google later. But what he gets across. Okay, yeah. Horizontal, vertical. Okay, horizontal relationship, vertical relationship. And so now what happens is you've got the cross in your life. And when the cross of Christ comes, then you're forgiven of your sins and you're filled with love and you have unconditional love from God. Now, this is where it gets really cool. Because of that, you can show unconditional love to others. And so in secure attachment to God and getting his unconditional love, now I can actually have better relationships with other people. That's why it comes first to love God and now love others. And guess what's going to happen in my life? I'm going to have great relationship with other people. So Jesus said the first thing is love God with all your heart. Then he goes on in Mark chapter 12 to say this, that the second one is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. In a complicated, complex world, sometimes simple things are awesome. Let me give you something simple. You can evaluate your life right now and how successful you are at living, how likely you are to be happy based on two things. Just get these two things right. Number one, love God, love others. Love God, love others. You might say, well, I want to be loved by others. Well, guess what? It always works better when you start by loving God, loving others. Then it comes your way. And then when you do that, you get the third part of the trifecta. And what's that? It's you live your God-given purpose. Because when you come to know God, he surrounds you with purpose. By the way, this is our Crossroads logo. If you didn't know this, these are three C's, which stands for passionate commitment to Christ, cause, community. Remember, Jesus is passionately committed to bringing about a connection with you and God and a connection with others and giving you purpose and wiping out despair and wiping out sadness. He's passionately committed to that. So I don't know if it gets to you or not, or you think about it, but it does me. I'm listening to Gwen Stefani talk about jogging with the wildebeest under an Oklahoma sky, but thinking about Christmas. And all of a sudden, something happens, something overwhelms her. I don't even know to this day if she knows what it was. Maybe she does. I don't want to put anything on her. I just know her story from her telling it. But if she felt this incredible flood coming over her, it's called the Holy Spirit. And she begins to say, my faith's almost dying and I need it to be revived. My life isn't what I want it to be right now. Would you come find me, Lord, on Christmas Eve? Would you bring healing? Would you bring hope? Would you touch me? I want you to hear the words of the song. Casey's going to sing it. And I want you just to take that in right now and ask this question. What would happen if you said to the Lord, come find me? Father, we pray right now that all of us who know you would just sense your presence. And Father, I pray right now for anyone here who doesn't know you, no matter what age they are, what stage of life they're in, what they're going through, what they're dealing with, what has them, or what's holding on to them. Father, I pray they would know that the answer starts by getting the connection with you right. And when those words come out, come find me, and we mean it, you come find us. And we pray on Christmas Eve, a lot of people here and all around the world would find you as you find them in Jesus' name.
I'm looking for you on Christmas Eve.
By the way, that is Karen and Kenny Cobb, who go to church here. They're a blessing in this church. And didn't they do a great job dancing? And Casey singing, and the band. Yeah. So, what happens when you say, come find me? The answer is, he will. And how do you actually do that? I mean, what's the way you actually go about that? Well, here's the answer. It starts by praying a prayer and telling the Lord, I want to give my life to you. I want you to come find me. I want to commit myself to you. For some of you today, you've never done that before. This is the first time you could do it. Christmas Eve, to say yes to God and say, come find me. And ask him now to take you into that horizontal relationship where you really are connected to him. And then there's a next step. The next step is, after you pray a prayer like that, you need to make it known. Just like when you get engaged, you announce it. Or maybe, you know, when you find out you're going to have a baby, you tell everybody. And God wants this to be a relationship that incredible. And so you need to make it known. So it starts by praying that prayer right where you're sitting. In a moment, I'll lead it. You just whisper that prayer to God and say you want to give yourself to him. You could do that for the first time. Some of you, by the way, may need to recommit to God. You may need to come back to him. You've been far from God way too long, or you've been held down, or you feel like God's not there for you. Recommit yourself today. You could do that alone. You could do that as a couple. You could do it as a family, as friends. Just pray that prayer. Then after we pray the prayer, I'm going to ask everyone to stand and sing. And if you pray the prayer and mean it, I'm going to ask you to make your way to an aisle or make your way to the stairs. People would love to let you out. They really would. Walk down one of these aisles and let us greet you here. And then we're going to ask you to go into the living room. And in there, we're not going to keep you long. I know it's Christmas Eve. We're not going to keep you long. We're going to give you a Bible and let you know a couple of next steps to take. So tomorrow morning when you wake up, you get even closer to God. But when you say, Lord, come find me, he does. He does. He comes and finds you. And when you make that walk, something changes. It goes deeper. It's more profound. It's more powerful in your life. So that's why we don't want you to pray the prayer and walk out. Pray the prayer and walk forward. Pray the prayer and do that. You can grab someone's hand and say, come with me. Or you can come as a family. If you have your kids, bring your kids. But make that walk. Let's pray. Father, I pray on this Christmas Eve, there are those who are going to come find you. Lord, I pray for anyone who's here that's in despair, that they would realize the prophetic message was a prophetic promise that you would actually come and drive despair from their life, bring healing and bring hope. I pray for anybody who feels they're caught in darkness. Maybe things that have been done to them and they need healing from it. Maybe things they're addicted to or they're trapped by, Lord, they need freedom from. I pray right now they'd pray that prayer. I pray for a dad who's here today whose kids really, really are hoping he'll be a better father, and he wants to be. He's tired of being disappointed in himself. I pray he'll pray the prayer and come and watch you, Lord, turn him into the man he's meant to be. I pray for someone who's sitting here right now and they're not even sure how they're going to make it in the next month. I pray, Lord, they're going to pray the prayer and come. I pray for someone whose sickness has been a problem and it's more than just the physical. Something's going on. And I pray right now that they would call out to you and find a healing that would come from you and come. I pray for someone who's lonely, and we don't want them lonely at Christmas. I pray they'll come. So, Lord, we pray for people to say yes to you for the first time and to recommit, for couples to see their marriages healed, for families to be made whole, for friendships to be better. We pray people are going to call out to you. Right now, if you're ready to say yes to the Lord, I'm going to ask you to pray the prayer. I'm going to ask you to whisper it to God. So start with this. Say, Lord Jesus, come find me. Come take me. Come fill me with your love. Come and cleanse me of my sin. Come and make me yours. Come find me, Jesus. Come find me now. And Jesus, I pray this in your name. Amen. And amen if you prayed that prayer. Amen if you prayed that prayer.